Hey everybody, welcome back to Explain Like I'm 5, the podcast where we take the questions you always wanted to ask and talk about them in a way that's easy to understand. We are your hosts. I'm Tim.
Hey everyone, I'm Kevin.
So Kevin, today we're talking about hypnosis. Is hypnosis even real?
Oh yeah, hypnosis is real and has actually been scientifically studied for many, many years. Technically, it's defined as a state of highly focused attention or concentration. And actually often associated with relaxation too, and heightened suggestibility. So it's not some mystical or magical trance like it's sometimes portrayed on TV or on social media, but it is a legitimate psychological phenomenon that has some valid uses in clinical practice.
So can anybody be hypnotized, or are there certain people who are not susceptible to it and others who are more susceptible to it?
So most people can be hypnotized to some degree. The ability to be hypnotized is often associated with a person's, let's say, openness to an experience or a positive attitude or even the ability to focus. However, some people are more hypnotizable than others and can actually go into a much deeper state of hypnosis, if that makes sense.
Okay, so can we talk about the science behind hypnosis? How does it actually affect the brain?
So hypnosis has been shown to affect the brain in actually pretty significant ways. It can change the way the brain processes information and influences how certain brain regions communicate with each other. For example, during hypnosis, the prefrontal cortex, which is involved in all the higher level, you know, cognitive processes, and also the anterior cingulate cortex, which is involved in attention, these areas have been shown to be much more active during hypnosis.
Are there any potential dangers or side effects associated with hypnosis?
It's generally considered pretty safe, especially when practiced by a trained therapist. However, it's not without some risks. Some people may experience things like headaches or dizziness or anxiety. Also, it's important to remember that hypnosis can also kind of create false memories, so it should be used with some caution.
Can hypnosis be used to change a person's behavior then, or habits like smoking or overeating?
Yeah, you know, hypnosis can be used to help people change certain behaviors or habits. It's often used as a part of a treatment plan for conditions like helping people to quit smoking or things like weight loss or stress management. However, it's not a complete magic bullet, and obviously it requires a person's willingness and effort to make, you know, those kind of lifestyle changes.
I see. Now, could we explain a little bit of how hypnosis actually is induced, that act of getting someone into a hypnotic state?
Sure, yeah. So actually getting hypnotized. In early literature, a hypnosis induction was actually a very gradual and drawn-out process. Some methods were designed to relax the subject into a state of inner focus, actually quite a lot like meditation. But modern methods have been developed that are faster. Sigmund Freud combined a fixing of the eyes with some background sound. And there's also something called the Ellman induction, introduced by Dave Ellman, where the subject imagines that their eyes are just too relaxed to keep open, for example.
So can a person hypnotize themselves?
Oh, self-hypnosis is actually a thing, yeah. It involves inducing a state of hypnosis on oneself, often for the purpose of relaxation or self-improvement. And it's usually done through the use of maybe a guided imagery or some other relaxation techniques.
How about for use in other potential areas, maybe in that of, say, sports? With performance in sports, can you enhance your performance using hypnosis?
Oh, so there has been some use cases to improve focus, reduce performance anxiety, or even enhanced motivation. So there are definitely some athletes, you know, musicians and other performers that use hypnosis as a part of their training regimen.
I see. On the more nefarious side, can you use hypnosis then to control or manipulate people against their will?
Ooh, this one. Now, there are many myths and misconceptions about hypnosis, and this is definitely one of them. Some people believe that under hypnosis, you can be made to do things against your will or even things like reveal your deepest secrets. But the truth is, you're always in control and you can't be made to do anything you don't want to do. Hypnosis can make people just more open to suggestion, but it doesn't mean that they could be made to do things they never want to do in the first place.
I see. Well, that's good to know. And maybe finally, we can circle back to a historical question. When was hypnosis invented?
Ah, so hypnosis has quite a long history, dating all the way back to ancient times. It was used in ancient Egypt and Greece as a healing method. And also in many cultures and religions, it was regarded as a form of meditation. But probably the earliest record of a description of a hypnotic state can be found in the writings of Avicenna, a Persian physician who wrote about something called a trance in 1027. Bringing it more forward, in the 18th century, Franz Mesmer, a German physician, popularized the concept of animal magnetism, which is actually often seen as a precursor to modern hypnosis. So over the next few centuries, hypnosis was used in psychology and psychiatry, and now it's used in a variety of fields from medicine to entertainment.
Well, thanks for that. Now we understand it a little bit better. Did you learn something new? If you did, send us an email. We are at eli5thepodcast@gmail.com. We love hearing from you, especially when you've got comments and suggestions for us. As always, if you are a regular listener, please do take the time to leave us a rating or a review on Apple iTunes because it helps other people to discover this podcast. Thanks to the community at r/explainlikeim5, and we will see you all next week.